Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Utsah, the youth hour on Radio Sai, which is going to be a potpourri of music and humor, action and inspiration, energy and excitement, as well as a host of pragmatic and tried and tested tips and tricks to make our lives brighter, happier and more fulfilling, so that no matter what life throws at us, we continue to smile more joyfully, more effortlessly and more fully. And I'm really delighted that for this very first episode of this program, we have in the studio now Brother Ravi Kumar. Brother, thank you so much for making it possible to come for this inaugural episode of Utsah.
Thank you, Bishu. It is always a pleasure to be at Radio Sai, whether it is for singing or for speaking the glory of our Lord.
Fantastic. Brother, you are an inspiration to so many. You fill so many hearts with joy, so effortlessly, so seamlessly. So on behalf of all our listeners who are young at heart and are filled with that energetic love for Bhagwan, can I request you to begin this program with an adoration to Lord Ganesha, with an adoration to the Lord of all auspicious beginnings, so that we begin this novel series on a beautiful note.
Yes, yeah, surely, Bishu. Let's get started.
Wow.
Tere naam ko jisne dhyaya, us par rehti sukh chhaya. Teri mahima tu hi jaane, Shiv Parvati ke balak. Jai Ganpati Vandan Gananayak. Jai Ganpati Vandan Gananayak. Jai Ganpati Vandan Gananayak. तेरी छवि अति सुंदर सुखदायक, तेरी छवि अति सुंदर सुखदायक. जय गणपति वंदन गणनायक, जय गणपति वंदन गणनायक. गणपति वंदन गणनायक, जय गणपति वंदन गणनायक. धारा तेरो सुमिरन हर पूजन में, सबसे पहले फलदायक. जय गणपति वंदन गणनायक, जय गणपति वंदन गणनायक. तेरी छवि अति सुंदर सुखदायक, तेरी छवि अति सुंदर सुखदायक. जय गणपति. गणपति वंदन गणनायक जय गणपति वंदन गणनायक जय गणपति वंदन गणनायक
दैट वॉज सो वाइब्रेंट सो सोलफुलिंग थैंक यू सो मच Mother, I want to share with you that the inspiration for this series is a World Youth Festival, which concluded just a few weeks ago. And seeing their enthusiasm, seeing their energy, seeing their interest and intensity of the youth who had come from 69 countries,
wow.
I thought it is high time we have a program dedicated to this energy so beautifully channelized by Bhagwan. So that we can also give a suitable platform for them to express themselves and also we too can connect with them.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, this would be a beautiful exchange of love energy and which would elevate each one of us and together we uplift ourselves to make Bhagwan proud, you know, to make Bhagwan look at us and just smile.
Yes.
With that smile of satisfaction.
Yes, yes, indeed. It's such a wonderful idea. To have this program, and actually the first time you said that this program is named Utsaha, you know, that itself brought about, you know, a spring in my heart kind of a feeling, you know. It's wonderful. I think, as you said, the youth festival is something that has really enlivened everything around Puttaparthi with the presence of all so many of these young devotees of Swami coming in from 69 countries.
Yes. So can I ask you, what are your memorable moments of the World Youth Festival? You were part of it, you made a presentation and you had the chance to interact with so many of them. When you reflect on it, when you think about this beautiful three-day celebration, what are those moments which you like to ruminate on, which you want to relive?
Actually, for a few of us, the World Youth Festival started maybe a month before it actually got underway at Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had this video call with some of the coordinators from around the world.
Okay.
And that is, of course, when they wanted us to do a small session for them on Namasmarana. So, actually, that feeling of, you know, something nice and bright is going to happen, that feeling got started maybe a month before. So, it was so much in anticipation because even in those meetings, we could see the kind of minute preparation that was going into this huge festival over here. And of course, once it got underway, in fact, there are so many of them who came here 1 week before the whole thing started. And then some of them running around for the accommodation, some of them doing the, you know, the mics and the lighting and you name it. You know, they were all over Puttaparthi. And that is when we got to interact with many of them. The first thing that comes to my mind when I think of this large group that was here is that every one of them had a smile on their face.
Wow.
That is something so beautiful. You know, you have a few thousands of smiling faces.
3,000 of them.
3,000 of them, yeah. And I think that struck me basically. That's left an impression in my mind that that is what youth stands for. Like yes. You were saying, youth is not a matter of age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody who has that drive, anybody who has that intensity,
yes.
Anybody who has that urge to do something good, to be useful,
yeah.
To go out and make a difference,
yes.
I think is youth.
With a smile on their face.
With a smile on their face.
Yes. So, and that is what we saw. So, age no bar, but we saw all these actually young people going about doing their activities with a smile on their face. And the immense love for Swami,
yes,
which is what brought them here, which is what they do daily in their lives. What they do daily in their lives is they love Swami.
Yes.
I think it is that love that has brought them here from thousands of miles away. And that love, with that enthusiasm, with that kind of coordination to do so many events happening at so many different places in Puttaparthi at the same time. Wow, that was tremendous. It was a learning for all of us to see how enthusiasm can be carried through so many days, through so many events, and each of these events done so perfectly well. It was beautiful. There's an experience, as I was mentioning to somebody yesterday, the youth festival has left an impression that probably no other festival of this kind has in Puttaparthi.
Yes.
You know, we have had so many other festivals in Swami's presence, which have been beautiful in their own ways.
Yes.
But this was very, very, very different from all of those.
Yes.
And it literally brought the consciousness of the place to a different plane.
Yes. Even though Bhagwan is physically not there, perhaps this is one festival which was so grand.
Mm-hmm.
And after the departure of Bhagwan's physical form,
mm-hmm.
but which was so vibrant and which
yes.
elevated everyone's consciousness,
yes,
as you
yes,
very
yes.
beautifully said.
It was as if each one of them had internalized Swami.
Yes.
And so that, you know, from the heart, directly there was that smile on their
yes.
face.
Yes.
So that, you know, Bhagwan was with,
yeah,
is with
yes.
each one of us. And if you talk about any lesson, I mean, there's so many things to learn from all of them. Like I said, enthusiasm
yes.
and smile on the face. Go about coordination, etc. But there was this one thing, you know, I'm a part of the bhajan group. All the youth have love for Swami and they have love for music.
Yes.
So, when you bring Swami and music together, what forms are these Sai bhajans?
Yes. It's such a potent combination.
Potent combination. And that is something so dear to all of us over here. And it is so dear to Swami. So this potent combination of love for Swami and love for music forming love for Sai bhajans, it was so evident that a few of our brothers and sisters were coming and saying to us that I hope tomorrow the program that's going to happen in the Kulwant Hall finishes on time. Because after that we have a slot for 5 bhajans for which, you know, I have a chance to sing 1 bhajan for which, you know, I have practiced.
Mm-hmm.
I hope, you know, if the program does not get over on time, I may not get that one chance to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much joy of anticipation of singing that one bhajan in front of Swami in the Kulwant Hall for these people. And also at the same time, a little trepidation thinking that, oh my God, if I don't get that one chance. So, you know, that set a few of us thinking that it is so precious, that
yes.
chance that we get to sing bhajans. You know, we are so lucky that we are here and we get this chance to go and sing there, you know, as often as we can, daily if we can. And it was a reminder to say that, you know, each chance that we get to sing in front of Swami in Kulwant Hall is a lifetime opportunity, and
yes.
that is how we must treasure it.
Yes. Wow. It is as precious as it was when Bhagwan was physically there.
Very true. Very true.
And as you very beautifully said, and which I also felt, this is a generation. You don't have to tell them that, you know, Bhagwan is always there. Bhagwan is not the physical form.
Yes,
this is a
yes.
generation which grew up and which believes to their very bones that Bhagwan is with them.
Yes, so true. And some of the experience that we heard of them, you know, saying how Swami is a veritable member of their family. In their respective homes.
Yes.
Oh, and there's so many touching incidents. I can't tell you, sitting there and listening to them speak and sing brought me to tears many times. It is really an overwhelming experience, the entire youth festival.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, as you were talking about, you know, they internalizing Swami
mm-hmm.
and pouring out their love in
mm-hmm.
whatever they are doing,
mm-hmm.
I was just reminded of this beautiful conversation that I had with a group of youth from Australia who call themselves the Love at Work group.
Wow. Okay.
And in fact, we had very beautiful panel discussions, and in the earlier episodes we have aired that.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken
mm-hmm.
Bhagwan
mm-hmm.
into their lives in such a strong way
mm-hmm.
that they feel that they cannot be separated from him.
Oh.
And if they have to live with him
mm.
all the time,
mm.
then the only way to do it
mm.
is to see him and feel him in every interaction, every task, every job, at everything that they do in their life. And that has been their intense exercise for 10 years now.
Oh my God. Wonderful. So wonderful. You know, sometimes you think you have kind of been there, done that, seen that kind of a thing. But seeing the love and this what you're describing, you almost feel like saying, I am sure Swami is proud.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
though we are known to judge what Swami
yes.
would feel, but it is
yeah.
quite obvious, isn't
obvious,
it? This
yeah.
is what Swami
yeah.
has wanted all of us to
yes.
be in
yes.
life.
Yes. And it is also happening because of the satsang, you know, they are a group. So each
yeah.
person shares,
mm-hmm.
each person shares their experience of what magic they saw in their life once they started practicing this, seeing Swami in this person, seeing
yeah.
Swami in this work, seeing Swami in this job, you know.
My
and I think
God.
That satsang really
yeah.
gives you that much of momentum.
Yes, yes.
To go on that path.
Mm-hmm,
and I think that's what the youth festival is also all about, right?
Correct.
You hold each other's hand on that path.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
The journey becomes so much more exciting.
Yes. It is almost like an expansion of what our hostels here stand for.
Exactly.
Where, everyone...
each one lives for the other.
Each one lives for the other and together they live for God.
All live for God. Fantastic. So dear listeners, that was Brother Ravi Kumar, and we will hear more from Brother Ravi Kumar in the coming episodes of Utsaha. In fact, in the next episode, he is going to share with us what is the most important thing we need to develop and cultivate if we want to offer our music to the Lord. If we want to sing bhajans to our satisfaction and to the happiness of everyone around. And we will also listen to another soulful alap from Brother Ravi Kumar. So that's in the next episode of Utsaha. Coming back to the World Youth Festival, which is truly a festival of coming together of different streams of love from different corners of the world to the source of all streams, to the destination of all streams. I remember I had an interesting interaction with three youth members, two from the United Kingdom and one from Hong Kong. And for an hour, we only talked about how so magnificently and magically Swami made it possible for each one of them to be part of this festival. Brother Kapil from United Kingdom shared how for the last 1 year he had no job. He is an investment banker and his contract ended in July 2015. And after that, he was looking for a job. He got called for many interviews from top investment banking institutions, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan and so on. And these calls came just like that. He did not really make any serious effort. And he strongly felt it was Swami making it happen. So he attended these interviews. The interviews went on very well. After the first interview, he gets a response. They say, you are good. But unfortunately, we need someone with more experience. And so he goes on to the second interview. The third interview. The fourth interview, every time this is the response he gets. Every time he feels, Swami, thank you for giving me this opportunity. At the end of it, they tell him, you are very nice, you are good, but we are sorry, we need someone with more experience. And this happened 5 times. And he was like, Swami, why are you doing this? What are you doing with me? What should I do? What else should I do? He is a regional youth coordinator and he had been working hard for the World Youth Festival, traveling a lot, organizing events leading up to this mega festival. But every time he went for a job interview, he was turned down. He was someone who was working so hard for the World Youth Festival, but he himself did not know if he will be able to come to Puttaparthi, whether he will make it, because he had no job. His life was so uncertain. Plus, there was so much pressure from the family as well. They were concerned. They were supportive of the work that he was doing for Bhagwan's organization, but it came to a point where they felt maybe Kapil is overdoing all this. They're just telling him, what has happened to all your interviews? Are you really putting enough effort? And Kapil is like, I'm doing what I can. Because he never compromised in preparing for any of these interviews. And he was like, Swami, what should I do? What is this? Swami, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? He was so distraught, but that did not stop him from doing Bhagwan's work. That did not stop him from encouraging so many youth to come to Puttaparthi, preparing them for this, even though he himself had no clue where his life was going. And on June 9th, 2016... He gets a call from an interview with Cognizant. And he goes for this interview. It goes on very well. And guess what? Finally, he's in. Wow, it happened. He was so happy, but also sad. Because now there was a worry. A biggest worry now was, who will give him leave to go to India when he's just getting into a job? A few days later, he was waiting for his job order. He had gone for a satsang and he returned late in the night. Before sleeping, he just checked his email and there was this e-contract from Cognizant and the date for joining this new company. And when he saw that email, you cannot believe, he just jumped in joy. You know why? Because they asked him to join on July 18th, 2016. Just enough time for him to come to Prashant Nilayam, attend the festival and be back. Well, if you do his work, if you have that faith, all the doors will be open for you. With small faith, God will take you to heaven. But with great faith, God will bring the heaven to you. And that is how God brought Kapil to heaven. God brought Kapil to Prashant Nilayam. And this is just one story of the World Youth Festival. There are so many stories like this. I remember talking to Ritesh, a medical doctor from United Kingdom, Roshan, a young student, graduate student from Hong Kong. Some of this we already aired on Radio Sai, but dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure every youth who was part of this beautiful festival of grand love has a story of how he or she became a part of this event. And for some, they never imagined and it happened. For some, they always wanted. And it did seem it was happening, but last minute there was a glitch, but Swami took care. For others, they had no clue they are going to be part of it. And even if they had any clue, they had no idea how exciting it would be to be part of this festival. So here is my request to all the youth brothers and sisters who are part of the World Youth Festival in Prashant Nilayam. On July 12 to 14, 2016, please tell us your story of how you came to be part of this event. How you found yourself at Prashant Nilayam in July 2016. How the invisible hand of Sai made it happen so magically, so beautifully. So please send your emails, or even better, send your audio postcards to bishu@radiosai.org. It's B for Baba, I for India, S for Sai, H for Humility, U for Unity, bishu@radiosai.org. And we will have them in this hour, in the coming episodes. When we hear all these stories, you only feel so energized. You only marvel at the inspiration and motivation that Swami can put into a soul. And so rightly, the logo of the World Youth Festival just had a beautiful silhouette of Swami. Because ultimately, He is the orchestrator. He is the inspiration. He is the icon to emulate. Just the other day, I talked to Mr. Sai Surendranath, one of the very early students of Bhagwan's college. He came to Swami in the 70s and literally grew up under His direct care and guidance and love, and he is still serving in the Sri Satya Sai High Secondary School. He has been there almost since the inception of the school, and he is someone who has had innumerable interactions with Bhagwan, who is deeply inspired by Bhagwan's life, his personality, his message, having watched him at close quarters. So I asked him his thoughts about Bhagwan as a youth icon. Let's listen to a part of the conversation that I had with him, and then we will also listen to some beautiful humor by Brother Ranganath Raju. But for now, Sir Sai Surendranath. Sai Ram, and welcome, sir, to Utsaha, the Youth Hour on Radio Sai. And I'm really very happy that you are here for this program, because to me, you are someone who epitomizes what it is to be a youth. You always have that energy in you, that drive in you, that enthusiasm in you. Even though you have retired from the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, if I tell anyone that Sai Sir has retired, no one will believe. Because you always have that aura of energy, that aura of spreading happiness around you. Even when you came to the studio, I saw how you talked to everyone, and everyone would feel so light and so full of energy when they see you. And even as I speak now, you're smiling. And it's really, I feel that is what characterizes someone who is a youth. And I personally believe that age is just a number. Anybody who has that intensity of enthusiasm and who has that drive, he is a youth. And you are someone who really is a signature of that. So thank you very much for coming to this program.
Thank you, Brother Prushti. Thank you for inviting me here. And you said, you know, that youthful feeling or energy, the source is Swami. I have always observed Swami for many years, And I always see how he is to motivate everyone. There is no age difference. Right from a primary school kid to age old man, Swami keeps everybody at the same pedestal. At the same time, he shares love equally. So I keep observing. And I felt that is the best way to love others and get love from others also. I think that is what inspired me. And I considered Swami as my icon.
Wow. Fantastic. I think that is exactly what I was about to ask you, because as you mentioned that Swami is your icon, so what are those facets about Bhagwan which really strike you when you look at Bhagwan as an icon? You are what you are today because, as you say, you have seen Bhagwan for so many decades. I think it's nearly 4 decades since you have seen Bhagwan and been
physically lived.
You're living in his physical proximity. So what are those facets which really you have seen and you want to emulate and you think strike the most when you think about Bhagwan as a youth icon?
Well, to put it in a nutshell, it's very difficult to comprehend Swami's love and Swami's, the way he comprehends things. But I thought I will try to condense in 4 aspects. Actually, if you see, Swami started his mission even when he was young lad going to school. He said, no, I don't want to go to school. I have something. And in 1945-47, he wrote a historic letter.
Yes.
In that he said, I have a great mission to accomplish. My devotees are waiting. What was his age? What do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, 1947, Swami wrote that historic letter. So he was just about 19, 20 years old.
Okay. Which means, is he not youth that time?
Absolutely.
Sai Baba as a youth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we are discussing that part. So just see, you forget the spiritual aspect. As Satyanarayana Raju as a youth, when he declared in such a remote, insignificant, unrecognized, small, petty village. And today, this Puttaparthi village is in rail map, road map, air map, education map, medical map, international map, spiritual map. This young lad, as a youth, he had something in mind and he visualized that and meticulously one by one he accomplished. And today, we are all part of that mission. So youth, I think that should be the best thing that you must take from him, that what he wanted, he achieved. But how he achieved? I felt that 4 aspects I can say that. One is, he never postponed things. Swami always says, my sankalpa is a vajra sankalpa, correct?
Yes.
He never postponed things. Whatever that he wanted, he always did that and without any loss of time. I think in the modern system, every youth must realize that part, that anything that you want to do, you must accomplish as early as possible. The reason is, more the time you give, then the intensity of the feeling, everything becomes low and we'll never achieve what we wanted to. But that is what I observed in Swami, and I appreciated that. I mean, in the sense, I have nobody to appreciate. I mean, I thought that aspect is very good, which we also should emulate in our life.
Don't procrastinate anything.
Yeah, that's it. So the best part is, he converted this petty village. He brought in the entire world here. All his life, physically, Baba never left India. And he was in India, and he was in Andhra Pradesh, and he was in Puttaparthi. He brought the world here. That's why Swami says, I am like a sugar candy. Ants will come to me. Sugar candy will never go to ants. Similarly, staying in this village, he brought people all over the globe and he shared joy. He gave them love. He gave them solace. He gave them peace of mind. That is what is the greatest thing which I observed in his life. And at the same time, second one is determination. What is this determination? Many a time we feel, we all sit in this AC room. You plan for a program, right? Some program which you wanted. So we all do paperwork. Fine, paperwork is needed. But Swami goes beyond that. Sitting in an AC room and doing paperwork is only one part. To accomplish your mission, you should go to the grassroots level, to the ground level you should go. I have seen Swami, anytime, anywhere, any construction, meticulously after the morning bhajan, after his lunch, he will get into his car and he goes all the way to the construction site, uneven place, rubble and dust and thorny bushes, everything. Irrespective of all that, he goes down to a worker and talks to them very nicely, gives them biscuits, gives them laddu, giving that love to him. Do you know what happens when I observe that? Every worker feels it is not Baba's mission. They feel it is
my mission.
My mission. That involvement comes.
Yeah.
So how that involvement comes? Whatever that he determines and whatever that he wants to do, he goes to the grassroots level and makes it happen. That's why I feel that Swami is a very good example for a best leader.
Yes.
A leader is one who leads. This leader not only leads, but he carries the entire group along with him. Even the last guy is never left alone. Even the last guy feels, I am also an important part of this grand mission or an event or a program. Right?
And as important as anyone else.
Anyone else. I think our youth must carry that aspect. And the next one, I feel Swami has no discrimination. Rich, poor, engineer or a worker, there is no discrimination. He reaches out. Because he is reaching everyone, that is why the response also equally great. It is amazing. Everybody wants one-to-one with Baba. But you and me will try. In our house only, we are not able to get one-to-one approach.
Correct.
People are not ready to listen to you. People are not ready to sit with you to talk. Our own blood, our own house. But whereas here, people spend so much of money, time, energy, all the comforts they leave, and everybody wants that one-to-one. What is that? What is a chamatkar? You understand? So I think that is the energy that radiates from him. That is the love that comes out of him, engulfs everyone. People feel secured. People feel loved. People feel as one family. See, I think that is the life that Swami lived as a great example, which all youth must follow, must put it in practice.
Fantastic. The first thing you mentioned is determination.
Yes.
Whenever he decided to do something, he did not postpone. He just went ahead and just got it done.
Swami says, no, like my gunshot.
Yes.
Whenever you fire, there is no delay.
No delay.
Action and reaction, yes. Both are at the same time.
Yeah.
That is why all Swami's projects are successful.
Yes. There is no time for the intensity of the work to come down. You know, because the moment you have announced it, you have already announced the date. So you have decided the trajectory. You just have to move. That's it.
That's all.
So I think when we take up also something.
Yes.
When you know it's good work, it is fantastic work, it is something that you got to do in your life, you just got to do it. That's it. No excuses. No time to even think that you can delay it. By a second.
That is the determination. Baba always had that.
Yes.
Always had that.
And then the other very beautiful thing you mentioned is no discrimination. You know, everyone is part of it.
Mm.
And I'm reminded of how Bhagwan used to talk about management by walking around. When Swami used to speak to management students, he used to mention this. He said, manager is not someone who just sits there in his cabin and, you know, gives instructions. But he's someone who walks to the shop floor and, you know, interacts with every worker. Only then you know
correct
the problem. Faced at every level. And I think that's what we saw in Bhagwan.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And one more, my observation, the last one is discipline. There were days, I still remember, you can correct your watch when Swami comes for darshan in the morning or in the evening.
Yes.
Exactly 6 o'clock means 6 o'clock. Evening, whatever may be the time, is just on the dot. Like that, he used to maintain discipline.
Yes.
Okay? All through his life. And most important thing is, whatever he said or committed, it happens. Question of time, but definitely it happens. The best part is, his action makes everybody fall in discipline line.
Mm.
For example, goes to a same construction site, say. Swami says, "Rep poddhuna vastanu padi gentlaki." That is what he will say. He will not tell anything more than that. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock, I will be here.
Mm.
That's all. And he goes off. So tomorrow, 10 o'clock, whatever needs to be accomplished will be done. half an hour before only people are there ready.
Yes.
Because they have to answer.
Yes.
And he sees to it indirectly that everybody is disciplined into the action.
And everybody knows if Swami has told, he will come.
He will come.
He will come half an hour before. Not late.
Not late. So he'll make sure that we follow discipline.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So he is a person who follows and motivates us also to be part of that.
Yes.
So that is a beauty of Swami for all these years when I observed.
Fantastic.
I think that is why Swami always says this statement, no, my life is my message.
Yes. Determination, no discrimination, discipline.
Discipline.
Wow.
So I think the modern youth, if you can take this part as much as possible, if you can put it in practice, difficult, challenging. We are not like Baba, but still, in small way, it's always better to make an attempt, right?
Yes.
So we should do that.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I'm also tempted to ask you, okay, these are the lessons that you get when you look at Bhagwan, but when you interact with students, because you are someone who has mentored and counseled and encouraged and guided generations of students in the higher secondary school and in the college. You have seen talents blossom. You have seen students change from what they were when they joined the school to what they became 5 years or 10 years after studying in Bhagwan's institution. So, given all this experience, what are the 3 or 4 important pieces of advice that you would like to give to any youngster, any youth who wants to be known as a Sai youth?
Well, everyone in their life, whatever that they want to achieve, they see, they look out, they don't look within, they look out. So they want somebody as an ideal person to emulate. For some people, that's called hero worship or fan club, we say that. For some people, sports personalities. For some people, it can be political personalities. Or for some people, it can be film fraternity, someone there in film. Or for some people, it can be even spiritual people. So, this is how we have. So, what they do is, they keep them as their hero, as their ideal, as their icon. And they try to emulate, copy. It's cut and paste, like that it is. We may not be 100% successful, but we want to achieve. So in the course of direction, we keep somebody as a target and we make our humble attempt. But I personally feel Sai youth, instead of going for sports or film or political, if you can take our Swami, Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba, as your hero, I'll tell you amazing work you can do. The reason is, in all these fields, you are only specializing only in sports or only in film or only in political. Whereas Baba, sports personality also come, political people also come, film fraternity also comes, he engulfs everyone. So if you can take him at large, and if you can take him as your icon or as your leader, I will tell you, you can be a great person. I mean, whatever that you want to be an ideal youth, you can. So I feel that your ideal should be Baba. That would be better.
So dear listeners, that was Mr. Sai Surendranath. And we will continue this discussion in the coming episodes of Utsaha. He will go on to share those 3 or 4 important tips that he would like to give to every person who wants to be a Sai youth, who wants to be young at heart to do Bhagwan's work. And he just started that discussion today, and I think the most important facet that sir mentioned, apart from all those D's, I think all the D's, determination, discipline, discrimination, everything follows from having the divine, the major D, divine, as the icon. And I think everything starts from there. Many years ago, in the 40s, sometime in 1945, Swami had gone to Anantapur, just 80 kilometers from here, and Swami spent a few days there in the house of a devotee by name Atma Rama Rao. Bhagwan in those days used to wear wooden sandals. So one devotee thought, why is Bhagwan wearing wooden sandals? You know, let me get them silver plated. So he promptly did that, and given his love for him, Swami allowed it. But soon after this, now there was another group of devotees who took serious objection to this. They started murmuring, why is Baba leading such a rich life? Oh, he wants silver-plated footwear now. He wants a regal life. And they started talking disparagingly about Bhagwan in this manner. One of them even went to the extent of even asking Swami directly about this. Bhagwan was not even 20 years at that time. And do you know what Swami did then? Swami did not answer any of their questions. That night, when everyone was asleep, Swami quietly left his bed, went out of the room, picked up those silver-plated footwear and destroyed them. Was there a need for Bhagwan to do that? He is the king of the world. He could have just said something to that devotee to shut him off for life. A tiny ant was questioning the creator of the cosmos. But it bothered Swami. Because even an ant is important for him. Nobody is insignificant and no opinion is to be treated with little respect. When the other devotees felt that Swami cannot be in this manner, he respected that also. But there were devotees who felt very sad. They asked Swami, why did you do this? We wanted to see you with the silver padukas. Do you know what Swami said? He said, I will never use anything which my devotees do not approve of. He is so concerned about what we approve of him. Are we concerned about what he approves of us? Swami said, I will never use anything which my devotees do not approve of. If only we can be always concerned about what he approves of us. But that is how sensitive he is. Nobody is high or low. No discrimination, no comfort for himself, no self-show, no selfish happiness. In fact, this was the time in 1945 when people in and around Puttaparthi were highly jealous of Swami. They were jealous of his popularity. They only wanted to make his life as difficult as they could make it. Can you believe it? Swami did not have a house to stay. Swami used to stay in Karnam Subbamma's house and people made his stay there absolutely uncomfortable. Subbamma was insulted for allowing a non-Brahmin boy to stay in our house. How can a non-Brahmin boy visit a Brahmin kitchen? How can she feed a non-Brahmin inside her own house? This is not acceptable. People revolted. They just wanted a reason to make life unbearable for Subbamma so that she does not give shelter to Swami. When Swami saw the pain Subbamma is made to go through to make life easier for her, Swami stopped entering her kitchen. Later, Swami would not even enter her house. He would just stand outside and talk to her. And now when people saw that Swami was no more going into Subbamma's house, they stopped everyone else also in the village from giving any place to Swami in their homes. And Swami would not go to his own home because he had already declared his avatarhood that he has a mission, that he has no family ties, so he had no place to go. There were some devotees from Bukkapatnam, from the nearby village. They thought, okay, we'll bring Swami here, but some jealous people got together and said no one should give any place to Baba in their village. They started spreading all sorts of stories that if Swami came to Bukkapatnam, there would be confusion and there would be bad luck in their village and so on. They filled people's lives and hearts with fear. Then, what the Lord of the universe did, do you have any clue? You know, we have no clue what Swami did. Swami, who could have just decimated all these people with his mere look, he just let it be and he retired to a cave in a hill on the other side of River Chitravati near Jankampalli. For 6 months, Swami lived in a cave. Can you believe it? In fact, one funny thing that happened during this time is there was a little known Swamiji in the nearby village Kottacheruvu called Siddha Gunananda Swami. And this Swamiji went to Bhagwan's father, Pedda Venkappa Raju, and asked if he can keep Baba as his ward, as his disciple and successor. He thought this Baba has some nice powers, so it would be nice if he becomes my disciple. Imagine the situation. Imagine if you had all the powers in your hand. Imagine if you are the Mount Everest and there's this little squirrel which is actually resting under your shade, but has no clue and thinks of making the Everest its servant. Probably even the Everest cannot get angry. He can only laugh at the ignorance of the squirrel. The Swami also just let it be, and he continued without any complaints to live in the cave. The Lord did not have a place to stay. He did not have a roof. But when this happened, Subhuma got very perturbed and she decided she has to do something. And she had a vacant piece of land on the western bank of Chitravati. She invited Swami to come and stay there. She said she will build a hut for Swami there, and Swami should not go anywhere else or to anyone else. And it is during this time that Swami, when he was residing in this hut, that again some miscreant set the hut on fire when he was sleeping. Swami again could have burned those people to ashes with his mere will, but he just ensured that it rained on the hut and he let those people be. But this incident worried Subhuma and Kamalamma, the wives of the Karnam, and both of them loved Swami so much that they said, "Enough's enough, something has to be done. Swami cannot be made to go through all this torture." And it is then that they decided to build a proper structure, a proper temple in that area, and give it to Bhagwan for his stay. So immediately they donated the entire property to Swami and told him to use it for his devotees. The walls of the first house, the first mandir, were constructed with granite stones and clay. There was no plastering. The roof consisted of wooden angles overlaid with country straw. And Swami stayed in this structure for a month. And when devotees from Bangalore, who started now coming more frequently, when they saw Swami like this, they could not take it. They said, "Swami, we will build a proper building for you, please." And so some devotees from Bangalore and nearby areas, they came to Puttaparthi, stayed here for 4 days, brought down that temporary structure, which was basically an improvised hut. And on Krishna Janmashtami day, they started the construction of a new mandir, right in the same spot. It is in this month that we will celebrate Krishna Janmashtami, August 25th. And it's so interesting to know that Swami had the foundation stone laid for his first mandir on Krishna Janmashtami day. And do you know why Swami's residence is called Yajur Mandir? The final residence of Bhagwan is called Yajur Mandir, because that is how Lord Krishna's residence was called too in the Dwapara Yuga. This is what Swami himself revealed on one occasion. So the mandir construction started. Lots of devotees came from Bangalore and other areas. They got involved in the erection of the mandir. Mr. Tirumal Rao was the construction engineer. There was Narasimha Rao Naidu who provided the Mangalore tiles. A businessman from Penukonda gave a lorry for logistics. Thiru Venkataswamy Mudalayar arranged for cement and so on. And in 3-4 months, the building was ready. Swami personally supervised the work. For the first time, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba had a place to stay. It was 20 feet by 10 feet with Mangalore tile roofing. Devotees prayed to Swami that there should be an inauguration function, and Swami agreed to have that on Vaikuntha Ekadashi day on December 14th, 1945. So devotees came prepared to decorate the mandir and make arrangements for the celebration. But Swami was the one who was most busy in those few days before the ceremony, because he was the one who was walking through the narrow lanes of the village to get things done. There were some youth assisting Swami. They were climbing on ladders and doing the decorations and placing the photographs on the walls. But there were times when Swami himself climbed the ladder and did the work himself. And when other youth protested, Swami said, "Sai is ever willing and ever ready to help and assist at all times and at all places. It is this that gives joy to Sai. Sai is ever willing and ever ready to help and assist at all places and at all times, and it is this that gives joy to Sai." This is what Bhagwan said, and he continued to work along with all the other youth in the construction of the first mandir. And how did the inauguration ceremony go? How did the mandir shape up after this? What were those challenges that continue to come, and how did Bhagwan overcome them? Well, many, many beautiful lessons from Bhagwan's life, and we'll continue this in the next episode of Utsaha. Time is running out. We need to wind up this first episode. But before we do that, here is a taste of that Krishna facet of Swami. You know, it's so beautiful that Bhagwan's building came up on Krishna Janmashtami Day. This is the month of August. We will celebrate Krishna Janmashtami. And here, let us ruminate a little more on this Krishna facet of Swami. How he used to catch people and straighten them up. Straighten them up in a manner that only he can do. How the Divine Master used amazing ways to drive home lessons in such mysterious and such sometimes humorous ways that one can never forget in their lifetime. Brother Ranganath Raju narrates a few humbling and hilarious episodes. I recorded this just a few days ago with him. Let's enjoy this. So welcome, brother, to this very first episode of Youth Hour on Radio Sai. And it's really Bhagwan's design that you are here. On this Sunday, I'm able to record this. Just this morning, this idea came that we should have a special youth hour and there should be a special section on humor. And you are someone who has given a very beautiful talk on humor in Shivam. So please, can you share some of those beautiful moments where Bhagwan taught us precious lessons, but through the medium of beautiful humor?
Sarah Mother, it's both a privilege and more than a privilege, a blessing that we get an opportunity to talk about the Lord, and that too about His humor. We have seen Swami in various facets, but this side of humor of the God, something beautiful, something that goes deep inside and lasts for a lifetime of memory. So one incident that I can straight away recollect was in my 11th class, where I was a young lad who comes from a small town of Bellampally, which is current population, it says 63,000 households. It is nothing more than a rural setup, but however, it's a mining town. And I come from this town and I was very, very homesick, and I come from a very different kind of family, where in our family we believed that male or the men should not hold a broom and sweep the floor.
Okay.
But in our hostel, as you are aware, on Swami's guidance, we follow the self-reliance concept. So our wing teacher had allotted duties to six of us. Each day one person has to sweep. So mine was the second day. Holding a broom is something that I could never imagine. It is much more than an insult.
Oh.
It is blasphemy. It is like my entire lineage, you know, would get cursed if I hold a whip. That was the sort of mentality that I had. So first time I got away saying that, you know, I was not well, I was homesick and all that. Second time also I got away. The teacher realized that I was playing mischief. He came and warned me saying that next time if you are not going to sweep the room, then you will be out of the hostel. So I was very scared, and I was also very, you know, kind of very insecure, if I had to say, to hold a broom in front of others. So that afternoon, I waited for everyone to go out of the room. When everyone went out or took the broom, I swept the room. That was, you know, as I was sweeping each stroke, my heart was pounding, as if I was doing something that is blasphemous.
All your dignity is going away.
Yes, it's just fading away, you know, I was withering away into nothingness. That kind of, you know, I was decaying with each stroke. And I was so furious. I took up the broom, I swept the room.
Very, very wild with the hostel and, you know, the whole system, you know, you're making you do things that you never ever imagined
yes,
in your life.
Extremely wild, extremely. I was thinking, what kind of system is it that is making, that is going against traditions, that is going against dignity of, you know, male members of the society. All those things. And all this, I felt that the kingpin of all this design is Bhagwan Sat Sai Baba.
Okay.
So, I took up the broom, showed it to his photo and said, Baba, people say that this is your hostel and this is the Ghanakaryam that you make. I told him in Telugu. This is the Ghanakaryam. Ghanakaryam means a great work. A very sarcastic comment that this is the Ghanakaryam that I do in your hostel. I throw the broom and I come. So there was no one in the hostel. By then everybody had left. I came running because that's also again an act of indiscipline. Already my heart was pounding that I was insulted and now I cannot be insulted again for being late. So I went running to Darshan. By beautiful design of the Lord, I ended up sitting in the first line, on the third block side. So, Swami comes for second round, I'm sure you recollect, after the first round of darshan, Swami would go around the boys. So, he came out, he was going around, then he looked at me, then said, birthday? I just say, but I murmured that, Swami, Pada Namaskar. It was so soft.
You wanted Pad Namaskar.
I just wanted.
You got up.
Nothing. I was just sitting. It is just a thought which actually, you know, kind of made a sound, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing less than a whisper. Swami Pad Namaskar. That was the kind of thing. He turns back and says, birthday? I was like, oh.
Okay. Amen. Because you asked for Pad Namaskar, Swami is asking, why are you asking?
First of all, I was shocked. Yes, I was shocked that he could hear such a whisper. And people are looking at me very strangely saying, what is happening? Why is Swami suddenly turning and asking this boy birthday? And they said, marriage day? I was already scared. Then, I don't know what to say. Then he says, this go. He says, take. So I was taking and then I get up. And then Swami pulls up his sleeve and he creates vibhuti.
Oh.
He creates, I don't know that you stretch your hand. So people are saying, like, you know, they were making sign that I should stretch. So I just put both my hands, club, my classmate palms and put my hands. And the vibhuti is dropping from his hands. And then he says, looks at me and says, this is the prasadam for your ghanakaryam in the hostel.
Oh.
That ghanakaryam in the hostel.
Like you had so sarcastically said, yes. Swami, this is the ghanakaryam you wanted us to do, the great work.
And here is the Lord rewarding me for that ghanakaryam.
Wow.
That was the second interaction that I had with the Lord. And such a beautiful memory, it lasts for a lifetime. And I had learned a very important lesson that Lord is there with you. Wow. Do whatever you can. As Swami says, akasham nunna, natteta nunna, kutta meda nunna, samudra nunna, whether you are on a top of hill or in the mountain or Netherlands or wherever you are in the sky or Netherlands, I am there with you. I am always there with you. And another incident that comes to my mind is one of the youth members who was, you know, whom Swami used to give lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
We used to envy him. Day in and day out, Swami would call this boy inside and Swami would talk. But inside interview room, yeah, he had a very different role. Outside interview room, he would, after the talk with the Lord, he would come out because of his water background. And he used to carry a cell phone, mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
So this boy, youth member, would take the cell phone and go near, next to Krishna Chacho, near the water cooler. And there's an enclosure there, right? So he would go into the enclosure and he would talk about the interview that he had just finished with the Lord to his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And you can imagine, here we are doing all sort of penance and we are getting ignored. But here is another boy, another youth who is getting rewarded for violating all sorts of discipline. This would continue. This had kind of continued for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then next day I noticed that this boy was a different boy. One finding he was totally different, completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And very attentive. And I asked him, what happened? What exactly, you know, what is the magic that happened in one day that he became a different personality? He would not talk to anyone. He would be there for everything that is required in the mandir. And very, very disciplined, would not talk. Every day he would say, Sai Ram, and continue, meditate. Think this is a different author. I asked him, what happened? Then he told me. Just previous to that session, I had seen Swami coming and standing in front of him. Now I am telling the incident from his perspective. What he told me was, he was sitting and as usual, he was waiting for his interview chance. Swami had finished the first round of interview. Usually what happens is, Swami would send word through the boys around him for this boy to be called. So when they call him, he would take out his mobile phone from his pocket, keep it on the book in front of him, cover it with a kerchief, handkerchief, and go inside and attend the interview. This is the usual process. But that day, after the first round of interview, Swami comes out, comes straight to him. Swami stands in front of him and Swami tells him, go inside. Now, there is no way that this boy can pull out the mobile phone from his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami says, go inside. Says, Swami, says, go inside. So, he can't take out the phone.
So, he didn't have a moment to keep the phone.
He did not have, he just got up with the phone in his pocket, he has gone inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen Swami enacting this kind of, you know, roles where he would, if you show him a mobile phone, I have seen him in Chennai when a very important person was showing the mobile, Swami would say, it's a chinna phone, is it a phone, is there a person sitting inside, how come it gets signals, all sort of drama, divine drama he would enact. This is the kind of Swami that we all know, that we all kind of knew that he was, you know, person who would not know how to operate, apparently operate a mobile phone.
Yeah.
But this boy goes inside, right behind him, Swami walks in. He closes the interview room. He goes and sits in the throne. And then says, take out your mobile phone. This boy is shivering.
Oh my God.
He takes out the phone. And this phone had a password code. Swami types the password and enters the phone. Boy is, you know, shivering. It is as if someone had been operating that phone for years. You know, he goes to the contacts. Then he looks at each contact. and he reads out the contact name and he gives whereabouts, what this particular contact is doing right now, what is his family history, where is he coming, etc., etc., his total Puranam, if I can use the word, entire history. Swami is reeling out contact after contact, and this boy is seeing that Swami who is to interact day in and day out with him, he is not a different Swami, that omniscient Lord who knew everything about everyone. And then in the contacts, when it comes to B, the first name was this boy's girlfriend. And Swami looks at this name and then he looks at him and says, this is a person whom you used to talk to every day after the interview room. You think I don't know? You would finish the interview here and go near water cooler and talk to this friend of yours. Do you think I don't know? This particular youth's name was Bose. Swami throws the phone to him and says, you know, Bose, you know what is the difference between Baba and Bose? Bose thinks that he knows everything, but he doesn't know anything. Baba knows everything, but he acts as if he does not know anything.
Wow. That's a very, very powerful message. And I think this is something which every youth member should remember. I remember there was a song that we used to sing when we were Balvika's children. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There is Sai watching you. He is always with you. So be careful, little eyes, what you see.
And one small incident I just recollect.
Sure.
One of my classmates was, you know, watching movie in his home. When he said, eyes, be careful, this just struck me. Before going for the vacation, Swami told him that be careful, don't watch movies. So there was a calendar hanging behind him. And, you know, he's here, right front of him is the TV, behind him is a calendar. So this boy was sitting in his sofa, then he recollected this instruction that Swami had given, don't watch movie. And he felt a little odd. He looked at the calendar, he thought Baba is watching, he rolled up the calendar and kept it in his sleeves. So this is what happened, and he comes back. Swami calls him for interview. Now, what is the first thing Swami says? Swami says, that movie was good, but why did you roll me up?
Fantastic. And I think all the students actually have their moments when the Lord has turned them. True. But I think sometimes He has done it so beautifully, so fantastically that you can never ever forget those moments.
True.
And I think it is not only them, but I think everyone who hears such moments, you just feel so much, so strongly His presence in your life that He can transform you at every second. And He's doing that with all of us all the time. Thank you very much, Brother Ranganath Raju. Maybe we should have you, we will have you for future episodes of this Youth Hour on Radio Sai. Thank you so much for being for this first episode.
Thank you, Brother Sairam.
Sairam. So that was Brother Ranganath Raju. He's currently working in TVS Motors as an executive assistant to the chairman. So the Lord is always with us, and there are so many amazing ways the Lord can instill this lesson into us. In so many discourses, Bhagwan has mentioned this unequivocally. But you know, when you experience it, it's something else. But let us now listen to Bhagwan saying this from in his own voice. You know, when you listen now in this background, it hits you. And it remains in you. It transforms you. Let's listen to Bhagwan for 2 minutes.
Everywhere God is there.
Kanuka, God is there.
God is there everywhere.
Ekkada chusina unnadu.
Everywhere God is there.
Purushkani sarvata panipadam tat sarvato chesiromukam sarvata srutimalloke sarvama uttisthati.
God feet, God hands, God eyes, God ears are spread all over everywhere.
Evvariki telikunda nenu pani chestunnanu anukuntavu kaadu kaadu. God chustune unnadu.
You think that you are doing secretly, but God sees you.
కానీ ఆ గాడ్ ఎక్కడున్నాడు?
వేర్ ఇస్ గాడ్?
నీ కన్నులో చూపు ఎట్ట ఉందో అట్టనే ఉంటున్నాడు.
జస్ట్ యాజ్ దేర్ ఇస్ విజన్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఐ, దేర్ లైస్ గాడ్.
నీ నాలుగు నుంచి ఎట్టి పదములు ఉచ్చరిస్తున్నావో అక్కడే ఉంటుంది అది గాడ్.
జస్ట్ యాజ్ యూ టాక్ విత్ యువర్ టంగ్, దేర్ ఇస్ గాడ్.
కన్నుల్లోని వెలుగు ఏ విధంగా నీకు ప్రవేశిస్తుందో అట్టని దైవం కూడా నీలో ఆవిర్భవిస్తున్నాడు.
జస్ట్ యాజ్ దేర్ ఇస్ విజన్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఐ, యూ ఫైండ్ గాడ్ ఇన్ యూ.
కనుక మన చూపు ఏ విధంగా వస్తుంది?
హౌ డు యు డెవలప్ ఐ సైట్?
ఈ చూపుకి ఎవరు ఆధారం?
హూ ఇస్ ద కాజ్ ఫర్ దిస్ విజన్?
గాడ్.
గాడ్.
కనుకనే సర్వమునకు గాడే.
Everything is God's.
కదలదు నీది, సంకల్పము లేనిది.
Without your will nothing can move.
గడ్డి పోసేయును.
Even grass.
కారణ అకారణ.
With reason or without reason.
పాటు మాత్రములకే పేరు లేకపోవు నీ తలపున. అది ఎరుంగరు, మదిగలంగరు, ముదిమిచందరు, భువినకుందరు. వివేకమును వర్తించదని కను వెర్రవీగదురు కాని కడపటికి ఏమి చెందురో జరుగులేరు. ఏమేమో చేస్తున్నామని అహంకార పడుతుంటారు.
You are egoistic because you do that and
this. చేస్తున్నానని గర్వపడుతుంటారు.
You are so egoistic, feel proud that you do
many. అవకాశమే లేదు.
No scope.
అన్ని తానే చేస్తున్నాడు.
It's God who does.
ఆనే తాను అనుభవిస్తున్నాడు.
He experiences.
తానే ఆనందిస్తున్నాడు.
He is blissful.
చక్కని భావాన్ని మీరు పెట్టుకోండి.
You should have that good sacred idea.
నీకేదైనా దుఃఖం వచ్చింది.
You are miserable.
ఈ దుఃఖం నాది కాదు.
This misery is not mine.
దేవుడు చేసేటువంటి యాక్షన్.
It's God's action.
This is good for me.
This is good for me.
ఏది జరిగినా, కష్టం జరిగినా, నష్టం జరిగినా, లాస్ జరిగినా, ప్రాఫిట్ జరిగినా, ఇది ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ గుడ్ ఫర్ మీ.
Whatever may happen, profit or loss, everything is good for me. That should be spirit.
ఆ సత్యాన్ని నీవు గుర్తించుకున్నప్పుడు అంతా నీకు గుడ్డే అవుతుంది.
Then once you understand this truth that everything for good for me, everything is bound to be good.
So everything that happens is good for me. That is the mantra. And everything is good for me because He is the orchestrator. I think if we have this conviction that whatever is happening, He is there orchestrating it. So it is for my highest good. Then life will always be something which will enliven us. Because we know that He is working for us, He is in us, and He is there. He is our biggest well-wisher, and He is working all the time to ensure that we lead a life of happiness, a life of less troubles, more bliss. And dear listeners, in this program, in the future episodes, we are going to hear more of such profound clips, more of such humorous instances, more of such tips from people like Sai Sir. We are going to hear more anecdotes, more real life stories, more music, yes, more action, more inspiration. And you are welcome to share too. Utsaha is for all who are young and hot, and we welcome anyone who wants to be a Radio Sai jockey to use this platform. If you have any interesting things to share, something to inspire others with, something creatively beautiful or innovatively motivating, just write to us. Or you can send your emails to bishu@radiosai.org. B for Baba, I for India, S for Sai, H for Humility, U for Unity. bishu@radiosai.org. This is your space to share your energetic love for Bhagwan. Share with anyone whose heart beats for Sai. And for the youth who were part of the World Youth Festival, yes, please do send us your story of how you became a part of this festival. Your tale of Sai making your dream visit to Puttaparthi happen. Again, you can send your email or send audio postcard. We will continue this heart-to-heart sessions every fortnight. We will share our energy, our enthusiasm, and our drive and our delight on Utsaha, the Youth Hour on Radio Sai. Do send us your feedback on how you felt about this first episode. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. We will take your feedback and from there grow in strength, making prayer to Bhagwan that this utsaha, this love energy that we have in our hearts for Him only grows in leaps and bounds, so that one day it submerges us in such a manner that we don't exist. What exists is only love, and love, and love alone. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us all through the day and through this program. As I wind up, I would like to play once again the signature tune of this program, Utsaha, created so beautifully by Brother Anirudh. And with that, and with a prayer and gratitude to Bhagwan for being with us and for pulling us through till now, we offer ourselves at His feet. Here is the signature tune, and then you'll go back to the Asia stream. Thank you so much. Sayonara.